This is the UNC Coaches Show, presented by Bank of Colorado, a Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Here's Mike Rice.
Yes, indeed. We are back on the UNC Coaches Show, presented by Bank of Colorado. We are at the GOAT, 46th Avenue and Center Place. I'm telling you, they have all the games going on. So you got to pop down here. Yeah. We're here until 7. We'll talk UNC Men's Hoops. Head coach Steve Smiley is with us. I'm telling you, Steve, they got the Avs, the Nuggets, both on the East Coast, and they've got, well, I'm a little biased. I won't go into it, but they got the weight game on. So I've got an eye on that, too.
They have it all.
They do.
They have it all. A million TVs in here. They got it all.
They always have it. This is really a fun place. I mean, we got here a little early.
Yep.
The little man and I.
What'd you go with?
Well, we split because, you know, it's like I got to watch the figure of these days.
I get it.
He did chicken tenders, and I stole about half of them.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Sure.
Quality.
For sure.
But see,
Big Will's getting embarrassed.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's right. It's a lot of fun. We are talking men's basketball the entire show.
Yep.
Head coach Steve Smiley is with us. Really good trip. I know you wanted both ends of Montana State, but to get the OT win the way you guys did and then at least play really well and be competitive in Bozeman against the Bobcats of Montana State, how did you evaluate it once you saw all the film?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, getting the Montana win first, obviously, nobody wins there. And, you know, kind of the weird stat is we've won there 6 of the last 8 times we've played there.
Yeah.
And so we've had their number for a long time. It certainly didn't feel that way when we were down 10 with 4 minutes to go. But, you know, it's obviously it's a great team, great program, hard to win there. And I just think that in that game, you know, I thought we had a really good game plan. I thought we played well, but we just couldn't get over the hump. And that last 4 to 5 minutes of regulation – and then, you know, overtime, so like the last 10 minutes of that game, we were phenomenal.
Yeah.
You know, if you could just bottle that up and capture that, like, you wouldn't lose many games. Now, that's impossible to do. But I thought that we played really well. You know, obviously, you know, it's a team deal. But I will say that, you know, what St. Thomas did at the end of regulation and overtime, he had 37 points, 14 rebounds. But really, like, if you really watch that last 4 minutes, he just willed us to victory.
Yeah.
On both ends of the floor. And so that was a huge win. You know, I thought we really were focused, you know, in Bozeman. The travel was really hard. It was negative 33 degrees out there. That's not an exaggeration. That's not a wind chill. It was negative 33 degrees. And you're in that for 4 or 5 days. That was tough. You know, we got out there, a 3-hour bus ride turned into about 5.5 because the roads were so bad, you know, driving over those 2 mountain passes. But we got in, had a great practice, had a great practice on Friday, great practice Saturday morning. I thought the guys were really dialed in. We had won 5 in a row, and so I think the confidence was high. And to be honest, you know, we came out the first 10 minutes against Montana State, I just thought we were stuck in mud. We just weren't moving right. And we eventually settled in. We're up 2 at half. I showed the guys film yesterday. I showed them 15 glaring mistakes or just not good enough.
MAs, this football guy, missed assignments, you will.
In the first half.
Wow.
And we were up 2. And it's like, look, like, you know, we probably could have up so much more if we just would have played better. We just didn't play good enough. And then it came down to the end. And, you know, we're down 5. We get the steal. Jaren's got that steal with 1.5 minutes. He's the leading guy in the Big Sky in assists. 3-on-1. Ball gets deflected. Just every little thing that we could have done, we just didn't do it good enough.
Yeah, and let me jump in here. Because after the win over Montana, you made a really good comment, I thought, on postgame. You said everything went right in the comeback and then in overtime. And a lot of times when a coach says that, it's like, well, it just happens. But your guys went and executed it, and that was what was so impressive to me.
Right, for sure. And then, like, against Montana State, not everything went wrong, but not enough stuff went right, you know. And part of that was us, and I'll give them credit too, that they hit 4, 5, 6 shots, late shot clock contested shots that, you know, with the analytics are not good shots, but just pull-ups, things like that, and they hit all of them.
Yeah.
They miss a couple of those, maybe it changes, but they hit them, so, you know, give them credit.
Do you as a coach, and the preface is it's about the W's, that's the goal. And the rest is you try and find a silver lining, I suppose.
Sure.
But given some of the mistakes or whatever you want to call them, the MAs, and given the fact that Montana State really had a great night, is that consolation for you? Like, guys, we can go on the road, and that's still a game we can
And maybe should win.
Well, I think our guys were really, really disappointed because they felt like we felt like we're the better team. And we've gotten to the point in that five-game winning streak, three of those five were on the road. Hard places to win at, North Dakota.
Missoula,
and then Air Force. You know, so we've won three extremely hard road games. So, like, the road doesn't really matter to these guys at this point in time. We just felt like we just didn't play good enough. So I think there was a lot of disappointment. But, no, there's also the consolation. Like, hey, if we could play a little bit better, we really feel like we can play with anybody in the league.
We are with UNC head men's basketball coach Steve Smiley on the Coach's Show. We are live at the GOAT, 46th Avenue and Center Place, here until 7. We should mention a couple of your guys will come down for the second half of the show. You want to spill the beans?
Yeah, so, you know, little local flavor tonight. Yeah. You know, two in-state kids, Brock Quisney, who right now in Big Sky play is shooting 24 for 26 from the field. He's 92% from the field.
92?
Yeah, 92. Leading the league, I think the next highest is about 50%.
Yeah,
so
right.
He's doing a great job. And then Langston Reynolds, who I really feel like is his role expanded kind of in the second half of that CU game and then moving forward to Air Force and so on and so forth. He's been a big piece of us having this win streak and kind of turning some things in a really positive way. So, yeah, the two local guys, and they played prep school together, probably best friends. You know, those two guys will be coming on in the second half. So I'm just like the appetizer.
That's right.
The entree's coming up later on.
Yeah, so you're the B team, coach.
That's right. We're in the JV world. The varsity's coming up. So
that's exactly
good.
Right.
Yep.
You know, it's interesting though, and I want to have you expound as much as you can because I know coaches don't like to always lay all the cards on the table, and I respect that. But you mentioned when you were on with the guys in the morning on KFK, you talked a little, and you've talked with us about Langston's role. You referenced it a moment ago.
Sure.
What happened in that CU game? What did you do differently with him, and why has that translated to better play as a group?
Well, the problem with Langston is that he can play so many positions. You don't really know how to play him. You know, like, okay, should he be a point guard? Because if he's a point guard, that's a big guard that can really pass. He can really see the floor. Now, obviously, the area that he's improving upon, whatever position you play him at, he's got to continue to become a better shooter. So you're also trying to figure out how do we kind of hide that, right? And so we've been playing probably a little bit more at the one and the two. And just kind of out of necessity at CU, we said, let's move him to the wing. It's like a three spot. So now you got, you know, Saint and Riley at the three and the four. And then Langston comes in, moves Saint to the four. Let's just try that, and it just worked well. I think we became more explosive. It kind of freed him up in transition, whereas opposed to him starting the play, you know, outlet, he's got to start the play. He's finishing the play, dunking on guys, things like that. So I just think it kind of opened him up offensively, and so it's really been something that's exciting to see.
Did you go into that game thinking that's what you wanted to do? How did it come about?
You know, we were down about 20 at half against CU, and so it's like, well, let's just kind of, you know, The outcome of that game from a wins-loss perspective was already, you know, set in stone. But let's just try some stuff. And I think that it just kind of happened organically. And, you know, we're like, you know what, this looks pretty good, so let's keep trying it.
And he's responded.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's a guy that he doesn't really care what position. Like, I want to be a one. Or he doesn't care about
that. Put me in, coach.
He's like all these guys. They just want to play.
Yeah.
And so that made sense, and I think it's really helped out.
I think the other thing, and we were chatting about it earlier, defensively, even though he's, what, 6'1", 6'2".
No, he's a little bit bigger.
Is he bigger than that?
He's close to 6'4". He's a big guard. Well, he's still a guard, but yeah.
No, I was just going to say, no, I appreciate the correction because defensively then you don't lose a whole lot. He can still play that pretty
he's
naturally.
He's big enough, and he's so athletic. He's 6'4", probably 200 pounds. You know, he's probably got about a 1.5% body fat on him.
Yeah.
He's just an athletic specimen. So that allows him to guard bigger players, and he's tough. You know, he's a kid that will fight in there and really compete. So
it's the UNC Coaches Show. We are live at the GOAT, 46th Avenue and Center Place. UNC men's coach Steve Smiley with us. We'll hear from Langston Reynolds. We'll hear from Brock Quisney a little bit later on. Right now we'll take a short break and return in a moment on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
All right.
The UNC Coaches Show continues. It's presented by Bank of Colorado. We are live at the GOAT. Really a fun place. We've got a good crowd. We got all the games.
Oh, yeah.
We got the drink specials, the food specials, 46th Avenue and Center Place. Come on down and let Andrew and his staff take care of you. Steve Smiley, UNC men's coach with us. We'll hear from Brock Quisney. We'll hear from Langston Reynolds on the second half of the show. But, Steve, we left off talking a little bit about your team, and St. Thomas is the Big Sky Player of the Week again for the fourth time.
Fourth time.
It's remarkable.
It's amazing.
You know, and it was interesting.
Yeah.
Even from sort of a distance, I mean, you could tell that against Montana, just the passion, the fire. I mean, he was the catalyst in that game, wasn't he?
Yeah, he
not just on the floor either.
Yep. You know, we've had some people kind of just really, there's so much intrigue about him. And people say, well, what's his greatest quality? And his skill level is great. His IQ is even better. He knows the game at like the highest levels.
Really?
But that's not what it is. He is so competitive. Now, every now and then it can boil over, right? Like it's like anyone, like greatest strength, greatest weakness, but like 99.9% of the time, his competitive fire, it drags our team in a good way in practice. He leads every practice. And he's like, there are stories about Kevin Garnett, same kind of situation,
yeah,
right? KG in practice when Doc Rivers had him, he was getting to the older part of his career, and Doc would make him sit out reps because it's like, hey, man, like we need you in the game, not practice. And so KG would get so mad at Doc. He's like, no, I need to be in. I need to be in. So, like, look, if you don't sit out, we're shutting practice down. Point being that Saints like that. He wants to be in every single rep in practice to the point where I'm worried we're going to get him hurt. You know what I mean? And so he's just so competitive. And going back to that game, like that last 4 to 5 minutes of regulation and then going into overtime, that was one of the best stretches of a player that I've seen in the Big Sky, and I've been here 10 years. Like, it was unbelievable. And so now he's a great player, and he's a great leader. And he plays so hard. We played him like 42 minutes.
Yeah, and Jaron played like 40
minutes.
Yeah,
he played a ton of minutes too. And you know, and so we got a bunch of guys that are doing a great job. But, you know, Saints fourth time being Big Sky Player of the Week, and we just started league play. It's so hard to get that one time. You know, last year we had three great players, two pros, and a guy now that's, you know, with Dalton, what he's doing at Tennessee, we didn't have one Player of the Week one time last year. He's been at four times.
That's amazing.
To put it into context.
Yeah, I want to delve into something because I'm always intrigued how coaches make decisions.
Sure.
Because you know your team better than anybody, you and your staff. Saints at about 33 and a half minutes a game.
Yep.
Jaron really is a tick over 34.
Yep.
So how do you decide when it's too much? Is there that tipping point?
Yes. The problem is, in a single game, no. Like, in a single game, those guys, DeJours, you know, until he got hurt, he's still playing 31 minutes.
Yeah.
But until he got hurt, he was playing 34, 35. And his minutes will keep going up and up and up. But in a single game, these guys can handle playing 35 to 38 minutes. I do believe that. Here's the problem. You have to win three games in 3 days consecutively to go to March Madness. So it's not the first day, maybe not even the second day. It's that third day. There's no gas left. Now, with our team, I do, you know, we're playing 8-9 guys, so the rotation is a lot better. You know, we've had years, you know, the year that we lost the Big Sky Championship 2 years ago, six guys played the majority of the minutes. And five of those guys are playing professional basketball. Dalton's a sixth guy, and he's going to obviously be a pro. But there was a drop after that. So with us having a deeper rotation now, it helps. But, yes, in a single game, now Saints playing 41, 42 minutes in overtime. It's fine for a game. These guys can do it. But it's the aftermath that becomes a real problem. How do you hydrate, ice baths? I mean, we do all that stuff. But still, the body can only take so much. When you need to play the same on that third day, you know, when it's all on the line. So that would be the concern.
So now, in mid-January, how much, when you're in the midst of a game trying to distribute minutes, if you will,
yeah,
how much do you think about early March in the Big Sky tournament?
Yeah, you do. And even like going back to Cancun, now we didn't have a full roster in Cancun, but going back to, we had two games in 2 days. So playing those two games, like saying, look, man, like we just played like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We're playing the next game at 1 o'clock. It's less than a 24-hour turnaround. This is the Big Sky tournament. So as a team, we have to be ready with such a short preparation. The body's hurt, whatever it is. So you try to use that as a teaching point for the team too. But from just a body standpoint, it is concerning. And it's for everybody. You know, Dylan Jones, he plays 40 minutes every single game. You know, and he doesn't get in foul trouble. But he has to play 40 minutes in the quarterfinals, the semis, and the championship. And, you know, their head coach is one of my best friends, Eric Duff. I guarantee you he's worried about that too. Because you don't want to take him out. But at the same point in time, when you're playing minutes 112, 115, 117, whoa, that's a concern, right? So it is a real thing.
And not only playing those kind of minutes, but playing them with so much on the line, with the tournament berth on the line at the Big Sky tournament.
Yeah, that's the whole point. And here's the other problem with a guy like Saint. We put him on the best offensive player, too.
That's right.
Like, hey, go guard that guy, and because he's such a great defender, too, and rebounder and all that stuff. So, yeah, you know, it's one of those things where he and I have talked to, like, hey, we're going to have to pull you out of the game a couple times a game because we need to get the flow of it. You need to get a rest, you know. But when you're in the heat of the battle,
you're trying to win.
So, yeah.
That's right.
And right now it's like, hey, you got to win these games to get the best seed, because if you can get a top five seed, you get a bye. And there's not much difference between 1 and 6 in our league, I don't think. So you're trying to get that bye, too, because then you have one less game.
Yeah. UNC head coach Steve Smiley is with us. We are live at the GOAT, 46th Avenue and Center Place, on the UNC Coaches Show, presented by Bank of Colorado. So you get Sacramento State on Thursday, Portland State on Saturday. They had a good weekend against Weber and Idaho State, right? And I mean, those two teams won 3 of the 4 games. Weber lost both ends of that trip.
Sac State's won. You know, Sac State swept it. And Sac State, and they were both pretty much game winners. Sac State's won 3 of their last 4 games. Sac, and I told our guys just about 30 minutes ago when we finished up practice, said, do not look at their record and think they're not a good team. They are so much more talented than their record. I don't know why they were 3-10. They're now 6-11. They won 3 of their last 4 games. They're 2-2 in the league. They are really talented. And I think they're just starting to kind of find their way a little bit. But, you know, starting with them, because we haven't addressed Portland State at all. It's just right now all folks on Sac State. But it's a huge weekend.
Yeah.
You know, you go back just 3 weeks ago, Portland State was the hottest team in the league. They're beating everybody. And so, you know, now it's like, well, you know, they're 2-2. They're still really good. And so just one game at a time. But Sac State, big, physical, kind of just gnarly. It's going to be kind of a gross, disgusting physical fight.
Defensive.
It is. It's just going to be just a battle, and that's fine. We'll embrace it. Here's a good stat for the people listening. They are number 1 in the league in offensive rebounding by a landslide.
Yeah.
But your Bears are number 1 in defensive rebounding by a landslide. So the rebound battle is going to be the biggest thing.
Yeah, and
I think you
mentioned that there's not a lot of difference between 1 and 6 in the Big Sky, and that sort of gets amplified because – you guys are starting a stretch now of 6 of 8 at home.
Yeah.
And then you close with 5 of 7 on the road.
Correct.
So does that in the back of your mind say these are it's urgent, even though it's relatively early in the conference season?
Oh, it's huge. Yeah, especially since you were able to sneak that Montana win out, right? Like, okay, now we got that big road win, you know. And I don't think there's as much difference as people think. Like, well, you're at home, you're going to win. You're on the road, you're going to lose. I think those days are kind of dying a little bit. Every game's a battle.
I do, too. I agree with that.
I just think that's just the way it is now. But at the same point, where being at home is great is that you sleep in your own bed. 5 days in that -30 weather, got a roommate, you're eating random food, and, you know, we eat healthy, we eat good and all that, but it's not the same. It's just different. And so to be home, that's where I think the home court advantage is real. You look at it, and it's a good point, 6 out of 8 at home. But at the same point in time, you know, this is a huge stretch. If we can take care of these two at home, we're going to be in a pretty good spot, really with about a third of the season done.
I'll say this about traveling in the cold. It saps you.
Yeah.
Like that Montana trip you guys are. I mean, it's just – even
bitter.
Even if you're sleeping well, eating well, it just wears you down.
Yeah. It reminds me, because I lived in the northeast corner of South Dakota for 7 years.
Oh, my gosh.
And we would hit some -20s, -30s. It was freezing.
Yeah.
And being in that for 5 days, I was like, man, I'm glad I'm in Colorado.
Everything is an effort, although it's been cold here.
It's cold here.
But not negative.
Yeah,
30.
Yeah. Yep.
So, Duncan Powell is the big guy. I mean, he leads Sac State in points, rebounds, and assists, I believe. And he's what, 6'8"?
I think he's 6'7", 6'8".
Yeah.
You know, he's a hybrid forward. You know, probably if you had to put a number on him, he's a 4 probably. But, you know, he to their team is kind of like, you know, statistically what Saints done for our team or what Dylan Jones has done for Weber. A lot of stuff runs through him. He is a matchup nightmare because a lot of the 4s in our league are like Riley. That they're more like stretch the floor, sniper 4. Those guys present their own problems. He's a physical, nasty, gnarly, just like, I'm going to go fight you down there. And so he presents different problems for you. I have a lot of respect for him. I think he's a good player watching him. So we're going to have to decide what we want to do schematically, but he's going to have to see some double teams and, you know, different guys guarding him and things like that, because if you try to play him one-on-one, it's just not going to work. And so you have to be aggressive with it.
How is he off the bounce, creating his own
shot? Not bad. You know, for us, you probably call him like a straight line driver, where if you go for a shot fakes, he can straight line around you. He's not going to be like DeJure Reeves, where he's, you know, moving you side to side and crossing. That's not what he does.
Bake.
It's more physicality and just trying to impose his will. But he finishes well. He can shoot the three good enough. He shoots free throws at a high clip. He's a good player.
Yeah, you know, one of the early observations I had of your team was that it seems like they can come up with an answer offensively, I'm thinking, even defensively, whenever the situation calls for it, or many times.
Sure.
And over the last 3 weeks in particular, I've just realized that's because you have a good team.
Yeah.
And good teams have good players who don't back down and find a way to make plays. Do you see the same thing?
Yeah, and I think, like, if you looked at, like, well, what's the weakness? Like, we got to get better defensively.
Yeah.
Early in the season, we were really good defensively with a different scheme. We were not very good offensively early on. We've modified our scheme defensively because we did feel like all this aggressive trapping and rotating, it's awesome. Like New Mexico State game, Cal State Northridge game. But our offense was struggling. We looked and said, are we just wearing these dudes out? All the rotating and trapping and stuff. Well, we've started to reel that back in. Our offense has exploded. You know, we're like 33rd in the country right now in effective field goal percentage. Like, we are at a high, high level right now. But our defense has suffered. So now we're like, okay, we got to ramp it up a little bit. Don't want to lose the offense.
Yeah.
Got to get better defensively. So we're trying to figure out that fine line. But I think we're in a good spot. I think we're starting to learn our team and what we can do.
That's the in-season adjustments
yes.
that you and your staff and go through, right?
And they're subtle, but they're important.
Well, just like the adjustment, as it turned out, to put Langston on the wing.
Absolutely.
It's changed
it's
things.
It's subtle, but it's important.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Good luck this week.
Okay, sounds
It'll
good.
Be fun.
Thanks,
Steve,
Mike.
Thank
good
you.
To see you,
yep.
always.
UNC,
All right.
UNC head coach Steve Smiley. Bears against Sac State on Thursday. We're going to bring in Brock Wisney, Langston Reynolds. Those guys are next on the UNC Coaches Show. We're live at the GOAT, 46th Avenue and Center Place on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Back in a minute. Live at the GOAT on the UNC Coaches Show, presented by Bank of Colorado. We are at 46th Avenue and Center Place. And just a great atmosphere, all the games going on, Avs, Nuggets, college hoops. We are talking men's basketball, UNC guard/forward. Langston Reynolds is with us. Good to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So I want to start right with what Coach mentioned when your role sort of changed when you guys were playing at CU in mid-December. Mm. All of a sudden they say, hey, try the wing. Is that how it went?
Yeah. I would just say even from last year I kind of had to learn all the different spots, you know, because I'm pretty sure you talked about it, how, you know, how many minutes between those three guys. So I kind of had to learn every spot just in case. But I felt like that transition was just pretty easy for me in general because, you know, I just know the offense so well. So
when they said, hey, we want to put you on the wing, it wasn't like, okay, I'm a pitcher, and all of a sudden they asked me to play catcher. I mean, that was something that was within your skill set.
Yeah, for sure. You know, even before, like, even the summer, Smiles kind of talked to me about it, and he was just like, you know, you can play the 1, 2, the 3, maybe even the 4. You know, it's just being that kind of versatile guy that I am.
Yeah, and that's a needed role, isn't it?
I mean, guys
that can do a lot of different things.
Yeah.
Is that something you take pride in?
Yeah, for sure. I don't see it as like a bad thing. I see it as more like a God-given gift.
Well, you are leading the team in dunks. And you have had some – one of them made SportsCenter.
Yeah, at least.
I don't know if all of them did. They ask in baseball
– Yeah.
Do you look to hit a home run if you're a slugger?
Yeah.
Do you look for the dunk, honestly?
Yes, I do. I honestly believe it's kind of disrespectful when somebody tries to dunk on me. Jump with me. So I kind of make it known when I go for a dunk.
What was it, North Dakota, the one down the left wing? And
yes.
I mean, did you take off at the free throw line or free throw? It seemed like it.
Yeah, it was a pretty far jump. I didn't realize how far it was until after I saw it, but yeah.
Do you ever worry about missing a dunk?
No. No.
No. No. No, that's not going to happen.
Not at all. Yeah, I've been just doing it for so long. It's just kind of a natural thing.
UNC wingman Langston Reynolds with us on the Coach's Show. We are at the GOAT. We talked about this on a post-game show a week and a half, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
You are ambidextrous.
Yes, I am.
So that means left hand, right hand, you can pretty much use them with equal confidence, equal skill in a game.
Yes, yeah. I feel like that's also another God-given thing that I have. I use it more as an advantage than like a disadvantage. I feel like it's really good that I'm able to go both ways.
Can you, when you face a team that you've never faced or guys that don't know your game?
Yeah.
Because conference guys probably know by
now. Yeah, they probably know, yeah.
But can you see the confusion at times?
I do. I see a lot of teams, especially non-con, just force me left and then the next game force me right. And then it's like, okay, well, you kind of just have to decide which one you want to do.
That's crazy. I mean, it's just, I mean, can you write with both hands?
Yeah, I can. Yeah.
I mean, so when did you realize this? Do you know?
I would say around, I don't know, middle school, around seventh grade, because I would always shoot with my left hand, but then I would always love to dunk with my right hand. And everybody was like, what is wrong with you? Like, are you okay? Like, but, yeah, I think around that time is where I really realized.
So, I mean, and I don't know if kids ever sort of have a recollection of when they pick up a pencil, what hand they use. But, I mean, can you literally pick – or did – can you always remember picking up a pencil and writing with either hand?
Yeah. I just feel like either way, it's always comfortable, so safe. Like, even when I'm eating, like, I always use my left hand when I'm eating, or and then I always write with my right, or I can just go either or.
So if people ask you, are you a natural lefty, what do you say?
I say, no, I'm ambidextrous.
It's like, oh, I'm taking credit for both.
Yeah.
That is really cool. I don't know that I've ever met anyone who's truly ambidextrous like that.
Really?
I think it's just really cool.
Yeah.
Not that it comes up a lot. And obviously, with what we're doing,
yeah.
I mean, it's part of your game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
So you're typically shooting with your left hand.
Yeah, I try to keep that consistent, especially like in games. I don't really just want to switch it up, switch right hand, free throw. Left hand, like, I don't want to do that.
In practice, it's always left.
Yeah. I always practice shooting with my left.
And so it's sort of like, is there a little more confidence because of that?
Yeah, I would say so. You know, I always practice my left. My right, not really so much. If I shot it right now, I'd probably airball by, like, 2 feet. But, yeah, I would say more comfortable with my left.
But, well, and knock on wood, if there's ever an injury to either hand, you're good to go.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
you're
good
to go. That is amazing. And it's dunking with the right.
Yeah, because I love jumping off my left foot.
Okay.
Yeah, which is very different. Yeah, it's just, yeah.
So you let me strike up a new term here. You might not be a natural lefty, but you're inclined to your left side. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fair.
Good enough. Langston Reynolds is with us. Coach mentioned earlier it's kind of the local connection. Brock Wisney will be next, and Brock is a Colorado guy, and you're a Colorado guy, Denver East, Colorado Prep. Mm-hmm. What was it about UNC as you went through the recruiting process that said, you know what, I want to be a Bear?
I feel like it really just kind of took towards more off the court. I knew on the court. I knew what I was going into. I know the type of Coach Smiley is. I just felt like I want to go to a place where I could be myself on and off the court and just have people around me accept me for who I am.
You mentioned Coach, and one of the observations I have is he's tough. He's competitive. He's gonna work you guys.
Yeah.
But there seems to be a really good feel for teaching and pointing out, hey, here's how we get better. And I know it's weird. It's kind of a loaded question to talk about your coach, but that seems to be his style. Is that fair?
Yeah, for sure. He definitely makes sure we hold ourselves accountable. He makes sure he does it too. I feel like even in practice, like when somebody's not going as we know they can, we're like, hey, what are you doing? Like, pick it up. Even Smiles, like when we're watching film, he always says, you could have did this. Like, that's not you. Like, what's going up? Like, he just makes sure we're always on 10.
And you guys know.
Yeah.
You know, look, when you make a mistake, I would like when you saw the MAs, as he called them, during the Montana State game, you guys knew, right?
Yeah. We already knew. I felt like we all kind of accepted it. Even after the game, we were like, yeah, there's some things we could have done better. We just weren't ourselves in that game. But for sure, we'll shake back this week.
Does that motivate you personally, and does it motivate the group to say, we got to tighten up?
Yeah, for sure. I felt like as soon as that game was over, we all knew that we should have won that game. It shouldn't have been a competition, but I just know that this practice on Monday was just great, and we were ready to get there.
Coach has said that a lot when we've talked before games, he and I, that man, we've had a great week of practice.
Yeah.
Is this a team that likes to be on the court, game, practice, you know, just messing around, whatever?
Yeah, for sure. And I feel like we're also a group that doesn't mind being with each other 24/7. We're all very connected, no matter what it is. Like, we just love being around each other.
So that chemistry element is special, isn't it? You got to have that.
Yeah.
But you can't force it.
Yeah, no. You can't force it. I felt like even over the summer, we all kind of had to talk. Like, for us to be a good team, we all need to be coming together, hanging out, even when we're not supposed to, just doing the little things that we know can make us better.
And it's happening.
Yeah, it is.
Is there a sort of an eagerness to get back to practice, to get back to a game, where you guys are like, all right, you know, this is the process we're in, and we like doing this together?
Yeah, I feel like we're all pretty much gym rats. So it's like when we leave the gym, we always want to kind of get back in the gym. So it's kind of how we're all wired, I would say.
Yeah. Final few moments with Langston Reynolds. Did you play for Coach Carey at Denver
East? I did, yeah.
Rudy Carey?
Yes.
All-timer.
Yeah. Best coach in Colorado history.
Yeah. Most wins, right?
Yes. Yeah.
What was he like?
He's a winner.
Yeah.
He's going to do whatever he needs to do to win. I feel like that really helps anybody at the next level because that's kind of what it is.
He has – so many of his former players have gone on to play college basketball.
Yeah.
How much did that encourage you, inspire you when you were in high school?
It inspired me a lot. You know, it came down to, I think, I didn't make my decision which high school I was going to until like May. It was like really late. And that's when I met Daylen. And then he's going to CU, big guy on campus, you know. It really helped me. And then Quan Marble was there at the time. He was a really high major guy. So just seeing those two and being around those two really helped my decision.
You have family at almost every game here in Greeley, don't you?
Yes, I do. How much
does that mean to you?
A lot. You know, I just love seeing my fam whenever I can. Yeah, I'm a really family guy, so.
How much do your parents like watching you play?
They love it. You know, just being there at the games, I can hear them yelling and stuff.
Can
it's
you?
So fun. Yeah, it's actually really fun.
Because a lot of players say, I tune it out.
I mean, everybody's different. I just like hearing my family and people around me that I know cheer for me. I feel like it's really fun.
So, I'm honest answer.
Yeah.
The dunk against North Dakota. You've had a few others.
Yeah.
When you have one of those that you break out.
Yeah.
Especially if it's a road game. You get the texts?
I do. I have maybe a million texts from my mom after that. Yeah, it was really big. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Colorado Prep. Tell us about the prep school decision and the experience there as opposed to staying at East for 4 years.
I just felt like it came at a really good time. You know, that's when also COVID was around, so I didn't even know if I was going to have a junior season. But then, you know, Xavier Silas, he was also like one of my old AAU coaches, kind of hit me up and was like, hey, we're going to go global. Like, we're going to be playing here, like on one of the best circuits in the country. Like, what do you want to do? He was like, this is going to get you prepared for college. And I said, yeah. I just felt like it was the best thing for me to grow my game and just get me ready for the next level.
And how much do you feel like it did help now that you're here?
It was like prep school to college, it wasn't any different. It was literally the exact same. It helped me so much.
Both on the court and off?
Yes. Off the court, it helped even more because I knew how to do homework online and just – everything. It was just an easy transition.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, good decision for you.
Yes,
100%. But maybe not for everybody.
Yeah, no. Prep school is not for everybody, but I will say for the ones that do it, usually have a better chance of, you know, transitioning better.
Yeah, moving on and playing and getting used to the whole college atmosphere. So, tell us a little bit about what you've seen from Sac State as you get ready for the Hornets. Anything you can share?
I would just say that the record really doesn't reflect them and who they are as a team. They literally just went 2-0 this past week, beat two really good teams. So I know coming in we're really going to be on edge and just wanting to beat them for sure.
In let's see, you're a sophomore.
Yes.
Right? So you got 2 years after this one?
Yes.
Okay, so in about 8 to 12 years, we're going to see you on TV or hear you on radio. You want to be a broadcaster?
I do. That's actually what I'm studying. Yeah, I would love to be a broadcaster.
Well, we're gonna have to chat.
Yeah,
well, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
That's awesome. And and why the interest there?
I always want to be I just want to be involved with something with sports, and I always just love talking about sports. And I'm a really big analytic guy. So a guy gets 30, but if he takes 20 shots to get it, it's kind of like you know, is he really getting 30 on a consistent basis and doing it on a really good level? I don't think so.
Right. But efficiency versus production. I mean, there's a lot of whys that go into the end product.
Yeah, for sure.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Langston, thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Langston Reynolds of the UNC basketball team with us on the Coach's Show presented by Bank of Colorado. We are live at the GOAT, 46th Avenue in Center Place. Forward Brock Wisney coming up next on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. We are live at the GOAT, 46th Avenue in Center Place. All of the games going on, great food specials, great drink specials, just a great time out here at the GOAT. We're talking men's basketball for UNC. Forward Brock Wisney joins us. Good to have
you. Yeah, thank you for having me, man.
Yeah,
it's great.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming down. Coach mentioned it. We were talking about it during the break. You are 24 of 26 from the field, 92% in three Big Sky games. I don't know what the question is. Have you ever had a line like that?
I mean, I'm not sure. I really don't know. I'm not too focused on making this shot or that, just like taking it one shot at a time, you know, and just kind of going with that. I'm in the flow right now, obviously, and I feel pretty good. So,
Brock, one of my observations of your game has been you get in so deep to the front of the rim. Is that scheme? Is that talent? Is it everything?
I think it's a lot of first of all, I think my teammates opening it up for me. You know, when you have great players on the outside, saying, you know, good shooters, it opens it up down low. And I think when they drive, I'll get low touches. But also positioning, you know, knowing where to place your body when the ball is where it is, and kind of just feeling the game out for what it is.
Has that always been something you've worked on, the positioning, the moves inside, if you will?
Yeah, I feel like I've always enjoyed kind of just like learning the game more, learning where to be and when to be, because then you realize you don't got to work so hard to get points sometimes, you know, to get some easy buckets. It's not having to overexert yourself, kind of using your brain a little bit more sometimes.
Yeah, it sounds like with the shooting stats, it's more like I'm just looking to play my best, and hopefully it ends up being 92% after three games. Is that kind of how you look at it?
Yeah, definitely. I'm not going into the game obviously thinking, oh, I'm looking to miss no shots. I'm going into the game thinking, you know, take the easy ones, try to help my team win, and kind of just do the best I can, you know, just play hard. So.
What is it about the game that has kind of captured you or did? Because when you're playing college basketball, especially Division I, you've been committed for a long time, right? So what is it that kept you in basketball this long?
Yeah, so, I mean, you kind of have to have a different reason for times, because you'll go through hard stretches, and so your reason for it may change, but for me personally, I kind of like to play for God is my purpose, because it kind of keeps me stable. It keeps me level from day in, day out, you know. If you have something that doesn't waver up or down, it kind of gives you a consistent pull of energy, and I think that helps me a lot.
So. Some perspective. Yeah, I mean, some perspective on if I do shoot 92%, that's awesome.
Yeah.
But if I'm in a slump, that's okay too.
Yeah, I was actually texting my brother the other day. He's a freshman at Horizon, and he was getting upset because he wasn't scoring a bunch or doing amazing for this last two games. But I told him, you know, if you define your worth by how you're playing and how you're scoring, then you're eventually just going to crash. Like, you'll do yourself in. But I feel like you kind of have to define yourself by more than just how you're playing or how you're shooting. And also, in the same way, I play for my teammates. And if I'm focused on how I'm doing and we win a game and I'm mad, like, what does that really say about me? Like, yeah. I'm out there to win and play for my teammates, and I feel like that helps a lot also.
So does the faith element, the teammates, does that enable you to play with sort of more of a joy? Like,
oh, absolutely.
I just love this.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I always pray before every game, I'm like, just give me joy today, because if I don't have joy, I'm not going to enjoy this for much longer. So, I mean, I'm just out there trying to have fun. I'm smile more, not be upset. Like, our coach, he had like a little segment yesterday in our film, and he's like, you gotta get past mistakes quicker. And if you're stuck on a mistake for too long, you're gonna struggle. So, I mean, just go out there, have fun. You're going to make mistakes. It is what it is.
That's awesome.
You're going to miss shots. I'm going to miss more shots, obviously. I'm not going to shoot 92% for all the conference. That would be great. But
you don't count on that.
Yeah, that would be great, but we're not planning on me shooting 92%. Right. So, you know, just kind of taking it day by day and, taking joy out of what we're doing.
UNC forward Brock Wisney with us at the GOAT on the UNC Coaches Show. So the joy is there, but I will also say there are times when in calling the games, you I don't know what to call it except a scowl, especially when there's a foul called on you. You kind of get this like, what the heck was that? You don't say anything to the officials? Yeah. I mean, is that part of the game that, I mean, is a little frustrating sometimes? And I'm not asking you to call out officials, but just that part of the subjectivity of it.
I do tell myself sometimes, like, tone it down. You don't got to be mad every time. But I actually, like you said, frustrated. I actually really enjoy that because when I'm feeling that, I'm just feeling, like, competitive. I'm, like, encapsulated in the game, and I'm just focused. And anytime that I'm feeling like that, it's kind of more fun because I'm like, oh, I'll go get it back on the other end. Or just when I'm really just locked in on the game, it's a lot of fun.
I want to ask you a little bit about this team, this group. And we talked to Coach about it a little bit. But there's a fine line between being confident and being cocky. Mm-hmm. Is it fair to say that this group kind of has found that groove? Because you guys believe you should have beat Montana State.
Yeah, absolutely.
And yet that's not out of disrespect, and it's not out of like we're just going to show up and win.
Yeah.
You guys, have you found a little bit of that balance as a team?
Yeah, absolutely. And I know that we were talking earlier about, you know, getting our defense back on track. But on the offensive end, I think we're just playing so well together because, you know, we're selfless right now. We're not focused on me this, it's kind of about us. Like saying he's scoring a lot and that's great, but he's even like pass first. Like he's looking to make the team better, and I think all the guys are on the same level. Like I'm trying to dish the ball to Langston, Langston's trying to dish the ball to me. I think the selflessness is really what's making it fun and kind of helping us get in that groove.
Yeah, if there's a part of your game that you're like, you know what, that's an area I wanna improve upon. Does one come to mind?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I even feel like I kind of let us down last game against Montana State. They're big, dude. I gotta be better down low.
Defensively,
yeah. Absolutely. I kind of got to take more pride in that, and which I do. But I think there's always another level to everything, and it's all mentality. And I think it'll get better, and I think I'll help us out that way.
Sacramento State in on Thursday night. What coach said? We can't overlook the Hornets because of their record. They're pretty good.
Yeah. Definitely.
What makes them, from what you've seen, what makes them dangerous?
I think they're really talented. They have a lot of size and physicality. I know that he probably talked about that. They have some bigger centers. Their best player, the power forward, I would say. Physical, really talented. But I think we just have to kind of outplay them in a way, you know, us and, like, using our minds and everything. But I think – they're a good team, obviously, but I think we can get it done.
How difficult is the Thursday-Saturday? Whether you're on the road, whether you're at home, you only get that one day in between.
Yeah, it's difficult, but I think it's kind of good to have a steady schedule now. Early in non-con, it's different week to week. You may not play. You may play two games. You may play three. Now it's the same thing every time, and I like the schedule, and it kind of makes it easier even.
Okay, as we close, no pressure, 10 for 10 on Thursday, okay?
No promises.
I love it. Brock, thank you.
Thank you.
Great to see you. That's Brock Wisney, UNC forward. What a great show. Brock, along with Langston Reynolds, head coach Steve Smiley with us. Special thanks to Micah Kilpatrick back in the studio. I'm Mike Rice. We'll talk to you next Tuesday at 6 o'clock, another edition of the UNC Coaches Show, presented by Bank of Colorado, live here at the GOAT, 46th Avenue and Center Place in Greeley. Have a great week. We'll see you Thursday night at the Bank as the Bears take on Sacramento State. 5:30 pregame right here on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.